Thank you very much. Thank you. And first of all, I would like to thank Lisa Samson for this opportunity, and also Francesca Masiero for the organization of this meeting today. And I'm going to speak about the manuscript tradition of the Addormentati of Genoa, which is an interesting case study, in my opinion, in the early modern Italy. And I apologize for my English because it's my first time in a conference. Maybe it is a little bad, my English. Between 16th and 17th century, the cultural and literary phenomenon of the academies spread widely also in Genoa, as in many other Italian centers. Some small academies, companies, and literary circles arose and fell in Genoa, leaving only their names, such as I Galeotti, gli Imbaditi, I Gaudenti, I Dispersi, I Mutoli, gli Annuvolati, and so on. In this galaxy of associations, the most representative, influential, and long-lasting one was the Academy of the Addormentati, the Academy of the Asleep in English. The heritage of this academy includes several printed books already studied by the critics, but also a very important and best known manuscript production. The map of these documents comprehends different archives and libraries in Genoa, in Italy and abroad, like the State Archive of Genoa, l'Archivio di Stato di Genova, which preserves the book of the academic rules, for example, the National Library of Florence, which keeps two collections of academic works and poems, the Estense Library of Modena with a collection of letters, and then the Historical Archive of the Municipality of Genoa, l'Archivio Storico del Comune di Genova, and also the British Library of London. These documents are crucial to rebuild the history of the Addormentati, but unfortunately the timeline of these academies is anything but plain. The manuscripts testify indeed only some selected moments of its history, leaving large grey areas. Despite the generic presence in town of unidentified signori accademici since 1563, the oldest manuscript signed by the Addormentati, in fact, dates back only to October 1587. In that month, four men of the Genoese noble class send a letter to the Senate of the Republic to announce the birth of the Academy of the Addormentati, officially founded 7 months before, on 7 March 1587. In order to gain the approval to the government, they attach a copy of the academic laws and rules, le leggi e ordini dei signori accademici. Thus, they begin a story that lasts until the middle of the 17th century, despite many interruptions and setbacks. It is necessary to remark that the Addormentati arise with a significant delay compared with the most influential academies in the peninsula. Anyway, soon the academy becomes a leader institution in the history of literature and culture in the first half of the 17th century Italy. And the Addormentati provide also the right background to put Genoa in a considerable role in the debate on the Baroque poetry, building a network of relationships with other centers as Rome, Florence, Padua, Venice, Milan, and Pavia in Italy, and Paris, Antwerp, and Flanders in general in Europe. But first of all, it is important to sum up a short chronology assumed by the manuscripts and to analyze the academy in its diachrony in opposition to the old repertoires from the 17th century collections to the Michele Mailender Storia dell'Accademia d'Italia that often made the mistake to confuse and to put together two different generations of academicians. In fact, the history of the Academy is divided in two separate moments. The first is placed in the late 16th century between 1587 and 1594. The second takes place from 1621 to the 40s. In the middle, we find a long period of silence that is still hard to explain. And this is the first range. As we can read in the manuscript of the academic laws, the academy, is founded in March 1587, and this activity is approved by the government in October. The motto is taken from Virgil's Aeneid, Sopitos Suscitat, and the signboard is a clock with a reveil and an arquebuse. in Italian, un oriuolo con risvegliatorio e fucile. The patron is the aristocrat and literary man Giulio Pallavicino, who gathers around him a peculiar mix of literati, publishers, gentlemen, but also businessmen. In this year, we find the invitation to Torquato Tasso as a lector of Aristotle's Ethic and Poetics. This invitation dates back to June, but Tasso doesn't come in Genoa. The last one of Tasso's refusal comes in November. But in the, at the end of the year, the activity of the Addormentati seems to quit. In fact, in another manuscript now kept in Florence, one of the main members of the circle, Leonardo Spinola, testifies that the Academy died before its first birthday. L'Accademia non poté vedere l'anno intero, he wrote in a paper. But actually, the document seems to certify that some kind of organization, maybe less official, was still alive until the end of the 1590. But the real breakthrough comes in 1591. In the beginning of the year, a brand new circle is founded under the patronage of Francesco Antonio Spinola, and it takes the name of Accademia degli Addormentati Secondi, as some manuscript letter kept in Modena certify. At the same time, the young Ansaldo Cebà comes back from the University of Padua, inspired by his teacher Jason de Nores, and with his friend Andrea Spinola, within 2 years, he commutes the academy in a school for the ruling class, recovering the republican model of ancient Rome. But after his arrest in 1593, the Addormentati fall in a deep identity crisis. Many of them leave the academy to start a career in politics, in business, and in finance. The others try to start a new course inspired by scholarly discussions, giving to the Academy a new motto and a new signboard that shows the temple of the demigoddess Ino, in which the Asclepius foresee the future events according to the Pausanias Periegesis. But the project fails and the Academy disappears for many years. And more precisely, the lack of news persists until 1621, when the Academy rises again. This second age produced many manuscripts and printed books that include literary works, for example, the comedy of Agostino Mascardi, Le Metamorfosi d'Amore, or the Plinio Le Sales novels and essays like Le Instabilità dell'Ingegno and Il Tacito Burattato, and then collection of poems, theatrical plays, academic speeches, and other things. However, the 17th century production of the Addormentati is well known by the critics, as are the main manuscripts of this period. First of all, the so-called Quaderno di Appunti, written by Anton Giulio Brignole Sale, containing drafts of academic speeches, unpublished poems, letters, and so on, which are now described in a recent scholarly book. For this reason, now I would like to focus our conversation on the manuscripts of the first phase of the Academy only. Many of them are not completely known by the scholars for different causes. So the first task concerns the raising of the documents in order to build them up among manuscripts and to define a correct profile of the Academy. And this is the map of the documents. Here, the researcher must face different kinds of critical issues. The diaspora of the manuscripts in many archives and libraries in Italy and abroad, the fragmentation of the data, the invisibility of some academic documents in cataloging systems, and sometimes another problem, and sometimes the lack of digital repertoires, indexes and catalogs, and in general of digital tools. In order to overcome part of these troubles and to discover more hidden documents, it would be helpful to explore, when it is possible, also the private papers of the leading academicians, in addition to the official academic documents or collected manuscripts. For example, similarly to the Brignole Sales Quaderno di Appunti, a case study on the huge manuscript collection of Giulio Pallavicino, who kept the patronage of the Addormentati in the very beginning of their history, in my opinion, it would be appropriate. In a second phase, it would be important to match the new manuscripts with some subsidiary sources, like a collection of letters and poems, chronicles, memoirs, and other published or unpublished documents. For example, many news of the Addormentati are handed down in the correspondence between Angelo Grillo and Torquato Tasso, or between Gabriello Chiabrera and Pier Giuseppe Giustiniani, and these items are published. Or Anton Giulio Brignole Sale and Giovan Battista Manzini, in Cebas letters and so on. Here we have a slide to sum up the state of the Addormentati's manuscripts in the late 16th century. Among the main sources, the primary sources, the most important is the Book of Laws and Rules of the Academy. The manuscript is kept in the State Archive of Genoa, and it was recently published here in this tiny book. The laws are signed by 29 founder fellows, who represent the old aristocratic clans and families called Nobiltà Vecchia, families like Spinola, Di Negro, Pallavicino, and Doria, in opposition to the Nobiltà Nuova. They grew rich through money loans, financial and commercial activities. Next to them, there is a group of literati, publishers, editors like Angelo Grillo, Bartolomeo della Torre, Cristoforo Zabata, the publisher Bartoli, who start relationships with the main centers of northern Italy, Milan, Venice, Pavia, and with Rome. But the politic aims are more important than literature. In fact, the declaration of the rules changed soon the academy in a small aristocratic republic. As Giovanni Battista Alberti wrote in his discorso delle accademie pubbliche e private, si formano regole da osservarsi da ciascun accademico, governandosi l'accademia a guisa di repubblica con modo aristocratico. Here we can see the letter of the Addormentati to the Senate that introduced the Book of the Laws. This close relationship between the academic life and the political activity seems to mark an important difference compared to the other academies in Italy. Differently from other cases, the Academy of the Addormentati is not a place of dissent, but a social school for the ruling class, for the future ruling class in Genoa. So the only possible kind of dissent seems to be the hidden fight for the power among the patrician families, but never again the power itself. Like in the oligarchy, the power is divided among a restricted group of people. In addition to the prince, there are republican officers like the conservatori delle leggi or the sindicatori, in other words, the controllers and the guarantors of the laws. And the offices are all elected and short-lived. In the early years of the academy, the prince remains in charge only for 1 month and not for 1 year, differently from other institutions. Again, in order to confirm the link with the republican government, in the 90s, Andrea Spinola suggests to change the title of prince into president, but his proposal does not pass. The only annual assignment is the role of the patron, who is Giulio Pallavicino, the true leader of the academy. I come back here. For this reason, we must include the huge Fondo Pallavicino among the other sources, the secondary sources. I consider it a secondary source only because his production is not always related to the academy. Indeed, these papers contain mainly the activity of Pallavicino as historiographer, scholar, and collector of documents, but only sometimes as academician. His documents are divided among many archives and libraries. Mostly of them are kept in the historical archive of the municipality of Genoa, that stores about 222 items with thousands of papers. But a considerable and still unstudied archive is kept also here in the British Library of London, in the collection relating to Genoa. Because of its size, the heritage of Pallavicino's works still has to be studied, in particular the papers kept here in London. Instead, concerning the Fondo Pallavicino in Genoa, other difficulties are represented by the absence of a digital catalogue and by the lack of a detailed description of the documents. Starting by my attempt to make a preliminary map of the Pallavicino's academic documents, I would like to quote three items in particular. The manuscript 339, entitled Lettere Varie, in which we find, for example, a copy of an important letter written in 1591 from the future author of the Commentaria Tacito, Traiano Boccalini, which attests the friendship between him and Pallavicino and the important spreading in Genoa of the scholarly discussion about Tacitus and Machiavelli between ethics and politics, for example. And then the manuscript entitled Invenzione di Giulio Pallavicino, manuscript 283, which is a chronicle of the years 1583-1589, edited more than 40 years ago by Edoardo Grandi, in which we find news about the theatrical and public plays organized by the Addormentati during the carnival. And finally, the manuscript named Ristretto di Lime, manuscript 413. Because it is particularly suitable to identify some main cultural features of the Academy in the late 80s. Inside the book, there are poems celebrating the Pallavicino's collection of books, paintings, sculptures, and his passion for the humanities. But in this document, we find also the compositions dedicated to less scholarly topics. For example, the Ristretto di Rime writes down some notes for the carnival parade called cartelli, signboards, maybe in English. These notes describe some short carnival scenes in which the members of the Academy, for example, play the roles of medieval fearless knights, or they take the identity of historical characters as Caesar, or exotic characters as Atahualpa, for example. Then we can also find the particular care towards the women and the practice of gallant entertainment. Beside a long celebration of natural love entitled Il Trionfo d'Amore, other groups of poems in the Ristretto di Rime are dedicated to the beautiful young ladies of Genoa. Sometimes the tone is elegiac and sad, other times we have jokes and games. And then the same topics are confirmed in the manuscript called Canzoni e Poesie Varie, composed in the same years and kept in the National Library of Florence. In this place we find also the most important document of the Academy, Le Composizioni degli Accademici Addormentati. The manuscript dates back to the early 19s, and the topics turn around love, women, and carnival as in the previous book. In many pages of the document, for example, the academicians exercise themselves sending literary letters to their lovers. It is especially remarkable that the women are often admitted in academy and they to attend the plays and sometimes the scholarly meetings, even if it is officially forbidden to them to enroll in the association with an academic name and a signboard. Then I have another example, but I go to the conclusions. In conclusion, I would like to remember that the last 15-20 years, many studies have been dedicated to the Addormentati, but each of them was focused only on a peculiar momentum of their history, and a complete monography on this academy is still missing. In order to approach this academy with a wider and more informed look, I think it would be very important to work for finding, recording, and collecting manuscripts. The first step is to make the documents valuable, cataloging more manuscripts as possible, and maybe publishing some selected documents that identify the academy as cultural, social, and political phenomenon. Mainly, in the case of the Addormentati, the peculiar relationship between the Academy and the Republican government, then the presence of the women in the academic life, and then the vitality of the theatrical activities and carnival parades. But the cataloging work is not enough. Indeed, it should be important to transfer the data in a sort of collector, a general online database like the Italian Academy's database, for example, but extended also to the manuscript heritage, because only with this kind of tool, in my opinion, it could be possible to detail better the networks among the academies and to analyze the particular features of a single academy in the frame of the early modern Italy. And I close. Thank you very much.